Well, we've been talking all along about who will follow Jesus. Tonight our thoughts are on who will follow Jesus in his control of self. This is one of our greatest problems, controlling ourselves, controlling our minds, controlling our anger, controlling our tongues, just controlling everything about us. It seems like some people don't feel like that's a great problem. They almost boast of their anger and what they say in their anger. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, usually I'm somebody easy to get along with, but if you ever get me riled up, you better watch out. Well, that's nothing to be proud of. That's nothing to boast about. In fact, I had you to turn to Proverbs 16, look at verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And self-control is one of those qualities that's to be added to our faith, mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 11. And it's one of those things listed that's the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. So just to be kind of proud almost of the fact that I know how to tell somebody off is not anything to be proud of. Back when my grandmother Mitchell was living, we would go to see her, turn off the main highway and down the little road and then on her drive and along the and up the hill and over across the road, I would say maybe 300 yards, lived Hazel. And any time that we would come to see Mamaw Mitchell, here would come Hazel. I don't know whether she was nosy or protective. I think a little bit both. And one day we'd come to see my grandmother, and here came Hazel. And Hazel begins to talk about something that had happened with a doctor. I don't remember what it was. But she said, I'll tell you this, if I ever see that doctor again, he'll know that old Hazel has a temper. And it seemed like she was proud of that. And that's kind of become a little saying in our family. And every once in a while, I'll get a little upset. And I say, I tell you, they're going to find out old Bill's got a temper. I say that in jest, but that's the way some people are. But if we're going to follow Jesus, who will follow Jesus? We must be working to gain control of self. And as we look at Jesus, what I want us to do is especially think in terms of what we see in his arrest and trials and crucifixion, his total control of self through every bit of it. Now let's start out by saying this. When we talk about Jesus' self-control, it's not that he did not have emotions or feelings. You ever known anybody that was so laid back it seemed like nothing bothered them? We may think, well, they're really exercising self-control. The truth is, they don't have any emotions to control. That's not our Lord. Jesus had feelings. He had emotions. I think of Mark 3, verse 5, where he turned and looked around in anger. And I think of his going into the temple twice. I'm sure he went into the temple and said, well, you know, I believe I'm going to turn over this table of the money changers. And he turned it over. And, you know, here's some animals. I guess I should drive. I don't think so. I believe he was emotional when he did that, as he drove out those animals and as he overturned the tables of the money changers. He's a man of emotion, a man of feeling, but had to be controlled. And it was not that lost my point here. Hold on a minute, it'll come to me. But it was not that he all of the things that were true of him. it just wasn't that was the case. If I come back to that, I'll come back to it. Okay. But through it all, from the time they arrested him in the garden until he finally breathed his last, what we see in Jesus is full self-control. I see it in the garden. They came to arrest Jesus. Peter grabs out his sword and cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Jesus heals him. That's self-control. He's able to act benevolently toward somebody that's there to arrest him and hopes to kill him in his trials. He's able to remain silent. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse 11 beginning. Matthew 27, verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things these testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Can you imagine the control that was required as these people are hurling all these accusations at Jesus? And I think our tendency would be to say, that's a lie. That's not Jesus. He remained silent. He shows self-control in his concern for others. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it. But all of those of us who have suffered, ongoing suffering, you know how hard it is to be concerned for other people as that's happening in your life. It takes a lot of control of your emotion to be concerned for others. But Jesus was concerned for others throughout. I think of the women who followed him on the way to the cross. He was concerned for them. Those who nailed his hands and feet to the cross, he was concerned for them. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." The thief, concerned. "Today you'll be with me in paradise." His mother, he's concerned. "Behold your son. Behold your mother." As he arranges for the care of his mother. All of this is an indication of complete control of himself. And then when they came and mocked him, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let him come down from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him, seeing delighted in him." Not one time did Jesus retaliate. In fact, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." That involved a tremendous amount of self-control. And just remember, with one lash of his tongue, he could have cut them right down to size. Or he could have called 12 legions of angels. Couldn't be delivered from that situation. But he didn't do it. What we see in our Lord, yes, he had feelings. Yes, he was tested. That's one of the points I couldn't think of. Tested severely. Yes, he dreaded what he was about to face. Another point I was going to make. But through it all, you see that control of Jesus in everything he faced. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to also learn to control self. Let's just talk about the application to ourselves. controlling our anger. Let me ask you something, young people, high schoolers. Do you ever get upset at your parents? Feel like maybe they're being a little unfair? When they tell you that you can't do something that you really want to do, does it upset you? How about your parents? Do you ever get upset at your children? How about husbands? Get upset at your wife? Wives to your husband? How about at work? Do you get upset at people at work? How about at school? Do you get upset? And when you do, what do you do? Do you lash out with your tongue? Say some hateful things? Hurtful? Then later, you wish you hadn't said that to your parents. Or you wish you hadn't said that to your husband or to your wife. And yes, you apologize and you're forgiven, but the scars are still there. Those words have been spoken. And you live with regrets that you made those statements. And even though they have forgiven you, it's hard for them to get over it because the scars are still there. Are you ever guilty? Turn to the book of James. Chapter 1, look at verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Are we guilty? Probably. I would say all of us have been. And then sometimes it's not words spoken. There was an old brother in Australia, way back at the turn of the 20th century. His name was Stephen Cheek. He wrote a lot of material, and somehow that material was all passed on to me. He talked about wood swearing. You know what wood swearing is? Oh, you don't say anything, but you can slam that door. Or if you have something in your hand, you can. So you let the wood do the swearing for you. But it's the same thing. It's a lack of control of our anger. And we make everybody around us uncomfortable. We're miserable learning to control our anger. And then, just as Jesus did not retaliate, we must be people who do not retaliate. Now, that's our tendency. When somebody does us wrong, somebody hurls insults at us, our tendency is to get them back. And if we can't get them back right at that time, we try to figure out some way that we can retaliate and maybe get them back. And then we lie in bed. And we're churning inside, trying to figure out what we can do. And hate begins to build up, and bitterness and anger. Have any of us been guilty? And when that happens, it makes you absolutely miserable. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 8 beginning. And I want to go right on in to 8, 9, and on into 10. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Do you see the connection between verse 9 and verses 10 through 12? Don't render evil for evil. Don't render reviling for reviling. Why? Well, if you want to love life, if you want to see good days, you don't let those things dwell in your mind. So we lie in bed thinking about how somebody's hurt us, how we can get even with them, and we're miserable. How much better? Get out of bed. Get on your knees. Pray for your enemy. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 5:44? Pray for your enemy, and then get in bed and go to sleep. You'll be a lot of happier person if you'll learn to do that. Learning to control ourselves. Now here's the third thing. Just as Jesus controlled his will and surrendered his will to God, so we must have control of our wills and be able to surrender them to God. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did Jesus dread what he was about to face? He dreaded it. I have no doubt in my mind that the agony and anguish of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane was greater than anything that any of us has ever felt. It doesn't matter how much agony and anguish we have felt in the past. He dreaded it. And yet in his prayer, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He wanted God's will to be done. But how can we surrender something to God if we don't have control over it ourselves? Controlling our tongues, controlling our tendency to want to get even with people, controlling our will. Who will follow Jesus? And that's what is essential if we're truly going to follow him. I want to add one more thing. Controlling our personalities. You know, we all have different personalities. And whatever our personality is, there are certain flaws connected with that personality. Some people have a personality that makes them very aggressive. Others, very laid back. Some have personalities that make them just talk all the time. Others have personalities that are too quiet. They don't talk when they should. We all have different personalities. But whatever the flaw is that may go with our personality, we need to be in control and not let that rule us. I'm going to give you an illustration. A woman's name was Janine. I told Janine I was going to talk about a woman named Janine. Janine came to Gardendale when I was preaching there. she just had one of these personalities that just eager, and during Bible classes, I'd see her and she's sitting on the edge of her seat. When she moved there, she had her directory out, and within just a week or two, she knew everybody in that whole group. She scared us to death. I didn't know. Literally, I had no idea what we were going to be dealing with this woman that's just... I wouldn't be calling her name if I weren't going to tell you she was wonderful. She was a tremendous asset to the church there. She controlled that aggressiveness. And one of her friends told me that at times she would become so aggressive and she'd say, "Janine," this is what she would say to herself, "Janine, you put on your meek and quiet spirit." She and three others of the Gardendale Church were killed at one time in a terrible automobile accident over in East Tennessee, and we grieved. Control. Self-control. Yes, we sometimes are angry, but we control our tongues. Yes, people sometimes do us wrong, but we don't try to get even with them. We turn it over to God. Yes, we know what we want. We know what our will is on a matter, but no. We've got enough control of that will to turn it over to God. And yes, we have personalities that need to be controlled. Pretty well all of us have those flaws, need to be. But we learn to control. Why? Because we want to follow Jesus. Now, turn to the book of Genesis. Go to chapter 4. Look at verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Isn't he saying to Cain, "Cain, you must take control. Don't let sin rule over you. You rule over it." Which raises the question, who's in control? Of my emotions, of my mind, of my tongue, of my eyes, of everything about. Who's in control? Is it Satan or is it the Lord? And all of us surely want the Lord to be the one who is controlling, but I cannot allow the Lord to control what all is taking place with me until I get control myself. And then when I get control of myself, then I can turn over and let the Lord rule. He rules my emotions. He rules my tongue. He rules when I get angry. He rules. And I get control of myself so that he can rule. Now I've got one more thing I need to say. I wish I could tell you that all you have to do is flip a switch and say, from this moment on, I'm going to be in control. It doesn't work that way. In fact, we may be talking about something that will take a lifetime for you. I'm going to tell you about somebody who was very close to me. His mother died when he was 6. His dad was out of town quite a bit. He was brought up by family members. And when he lost his temper as a child, they laughed at him. They thought it was cute. He wasn't taught as a child, and parents, are you listening? He wasn't taught as a child that he needed to control his anger. When he became a man, he realized, I've got a problem. He went a lifetime working on that. He wanted to do the Lord's will. By the time he died, he had come a long, long way in bringing that temper under control. What I'm telling you tonight is we must not just shrug our shoulders. Say, I have a problem with my temper. I have a problem with wanting to retaliate. But everybody's got his problems. Nobody's perfect. If that's your attitude, I don't know anything in the scriptures that give you hope. The Lord expects us to work on every sin that's in our lives to overcome it. But if you struggle, genuinely struggle, there come moments when you're tested and you pass the test and you feel so good about yourself. You're so thankful. You thank the Lord for helping you. But then when you think, I pretty well have this thing whipped, you know what's going to happen. A trying time comes. You lose it. And then you turn to God and say, please forgive me. And he forgives you. And you keep struggling. And you keep having to ask God to forgive you. And you ask him to help you. And he continues to forgive you. As long as he sees you genuinely struggle. As long as he sees genuine repentance. He continues to forgive you. And with his help, if you really give yourself diligently to exercising self-control with his help over a period of years, it is a marvelous thing how the influence of Christ in your life can turn you around. And you will be so much happier once you gain that control. Don't surrender to your lack of control. That's what I'm saying. Follow Jesus. He had perfect control of self. We may never have perfect control of self, but we can work at it and seek God's help and seek his forgiveness when we do slip back, but always trying and always upset when we know that we have failed. May God help us in all of these matters. Thank you for your patience when I couldn't think of my points. But I don't want to be glued to a piece of paper either. And I hope that we have learned some good lessons. May I suggest to you this week, it's hardly a week that goes by when we aren't tested pretty good. This week, find joy in passing the test with the help of God. And then just keep on working. This morning, we talked about the fact that we need to confess Christ. Never be ashamed of him. don't meet the Lord in judgment never having said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And don't meet him in judgment without having been baptized into Christ and into his death and being buried with him and raised with him for the remission of sins. Don't face the Lord in judgment without having done that. But you don't know when that time has come. And if tonight you're thinking about it, gain the courage to step out and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. May 7, 2017 will always be a special day in your heart. We stand and sing.